The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit PaulRents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to the Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our program. Today we will complete our study of Paul's epistle to the Philippians, Lord willing. And perhaps we'll have time to introduce our next subject that will occupy our time and attention. Let us pray for our Lord's grace to help us in this time of need. Our Father, we pray that you would help us not only understand the instruction of this epistle, but that you may enable us by your grace to implement its precepts and principles into our lives and our ministries. Thank you for this epistle and what it teaches us. Indeed, Father, you have given us all that we need to know regarding you and your will in this holy book that is before us. Help us to see the glory in this. Give us greater confidence in your word, greater love for your word. Help us to trust its teachings, obey its commandments. Help us to glorify you through holding forth the word of truth to any and all who would hear us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians 4:10 and following, the Apostle Paul described his own attitude and opinion of material things and his confidence in God to provide for him as well as for his people. We began to address this last time, and we want to pick up where we left off and continue onward. Paul commended this church for its generosity towards him and for assisting him in the ministry, and as a result, he assured them that God would provide for their needs. They provided for his needs. God will provide for their needs. Philippians 4:10-20. Let me read these verses for us once again. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here we read of Paul's encouragement that he received from the financial assistance of this church at Philippi. He had mentioned their financial support at the beginning of his epistle in chapter 1, and it would seem that this letter was largely a result of that gift. He wanted to thank them personally for their kindness to him and to the ministry. He wrote back in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And in that context, that expression, your fellowship in the gospel, is a reference to their financial assistance of him in the ministry. And then Paul expressed confidence and contentment with Christ's provision, verses 11 through 13. Paul's motivation in expressing his gratefulness was not a hidden petition for more money. It was a genuine expression of gratefulness. And then in verses 14 through 16, we considered the Philippians' faithfulness to support the gospel ministry. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. And so Paul was saying that even though he was content with or without their support, he was confident his Lord would care for him. Nevertheless, he commended the Philippians, and rightly so, for their financial support. This church was unique and special. No other church in Macedonia assisted him, but the church at Philippi had been faithful. They had been consistent, and he was encouraged by them through their financial assistance for him. We then read how Paul desired God's blessing on them for their faithfulness. Again, Paul states it was not out of selfishness or worry that he wrote to them regarding this. He wasn't writing so they would send him another gift or a larger gift. He desired fruit on their behalf. Paul knew he didn't need their offering. God doesn't need our offering, your offering, my offering, but nevertheless, he is grateful for it, and he rewards his people for their faithful stewardship. And it's a privilege we have to be involved in the Lord's work, supporting the Lord's ministry. And so we benefit ourselves when we bring benefit to others who are serving the Lord. And what's most important, of course, is God is pleased when we're faithful in this matter. Well, it's to them that God promises that he will provide their need. And Paul declares this in verse 19 of Philippians 4. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This verse is frequently quoted out of its context. It's not a blanket promise that God is going to provide for every Christian, and certainly it's not a promise for God to supply for non-Christians. Sometimes verses of Scripture are scattered about and voiced and applied to anybody and everybody, and that's just not right. This is not a promise of God to all humanity, and it's not even a promise of God for all Christians. It's a promise of God to Christians who are faithful in their stewardship to the Lord and his work. This church at Philippi had been faithful to Paul in supporting him, and Paul told them that God would be faithful in supporting them. They had taken care of God's people and God's work. They may be assured that God would take care of them. Our Lord Jesus taught the same principle to his disciples in Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, note that God's provision is according to God's resources. Paul could say, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The entire store of riches and God's control is available as a resource for his people who have been faithful to him and to his people in their stewardship. The infinite resources of God stand behind this promise. There's no need that can possibly exhaust God's ability to provide. These riches and glory are available through and by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator through whom all the blessings of God flow to his people. Because Christ represents his people before the Father gives them freely all that they need. Now, the key to experiencing financial freedom, then, freedom from worry, is to know and believe that God has bound himself to be your provider. If you look to Washington, D.C. as your provider, you're going to be disappointed and perhaps filled with worry. But as a Christian, we should see ultimately God as our provider. And if we are to do so, we must understand and affirm certain biblical truths. We rehearsed a couple of these last time. We want to continue and fill out these matters today. First, God is the sovereign governor of history, and he has established spiritual laws respecting the human condition. You know, we live in a post-Christian world. There was a time in which even non-Christians recognized that God was in control of the world and that certain spiritual laws were in effect. For example, my own dad was not a Christian. Thank the Lord he professed faith on his deathbed, and I have reason to hope for him. But he was a small businessman all his life, owning ma and pa grocery stores. And yet I can remember over the years as I was growing up that he would make decisions respecting his business in the light of spiritual principles that he knew were in place. For example, he knew that if you cheat somebody, well, it would come back to haunt you. I remember when he had been offered basically to have some two pieces of property that he owned to be commercially zoned. He had tried for several years to achieve this goal and couldn't, and it didn't happen, but he met a man one day, a friend, and said, "I can get that done for you." And he came back later to my dad and told him, "Well, you can get this done for $2,000 each." In other words, it was a bribe to some local officials. This was out in San Jose, California. Well, my dad, on principle, refused. He ended up selling the two pieces of property. And the reason he gave, that he knew that it would not go well for him if he started off business on that wrong footing. You see, he knew that there was a spiritual world and that there were laws, spiritual laws that were in effect, and that there were consequences of doing wrong and there was blessing for doing right. Well, we're past that stage in our culture. And now there's no thought whatsoever. As long as you can get away with it, well, then it must be okay. We have lost a great deal in our nation. By the way, what comes to mind is another incident in my dad and the way he dealt with business that speaks to this positively. I was in Boy Scouts when I was a young boy, myself and my brother. And we were a needy scout troop. We had a bunch of old tents, and one year we went to our summer week camp, and we had all these brand new tents. And the scout leader pulled me aside, and he says, "Well, that was very generous of your dad to donate these tents to our scout troop." And he told me, and I knew nothing about it, and he told me, "Your dad only gave us one condition, that we not broadcast that it was he who gave the tents or donated the tents to the troops." You see, again, there was a sense, even in culture, my dad being a non-Christian, that if you give in secret, that blessing will come back upon you in one way or another. And this is reflected here in this principle of Philippians chapter 4, as well as Luke 6:38, where our Lord taught his disciples, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And that principle is in effect, by the way, even among non-Christians. There are spiritual laws in effect. This is God's world, and he created it this way. And generous people will experience God's kindness and mercy being bestowed upon them, and things come back upon them. This is just the way life is in God's world. And so God is the sovereign governor of history, and he's established spiritual laws respecting the human condition. And secondly, as we just affirmed, God has determined that spiritual laws respecting stewardship exist, and they will show themselves in the lives of people, all people, irrespective of whether they are Christian or not. And third, we would say, he's established the law that those who hoard or are close-fisted respecting to giving will tend toward poverty. We quoted last time Ecclesiastes 5, a verse or two, and I want to read the larger context now. Ecclesiastes 5:10-14. This is the wise man Solomon, inspired, of course, this writing by the Holy Spirit, but this was his observation as he looked out at the world. "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." And then here's verse 13. "There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there's nothing in his hand." Ecclesiastes 5:10-14. God spoke similarly through his prophet Haggai. The historical setting of Haggai was Israel after the Babylonian exile. God had commissioned the people to rebuild the temple of the Lord so that they could resume their worship. But the people had failed in their stewardship. And so here are the opening words of the prophet Haggai, writing of their resultant condition. This is Haggai 1, verses 1-11. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And here it is. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Sounds like our economy today, doesn't it? And that's exactly right. This not only happens in individuals' lives, but in society's lives too. And then verse 7 of Haggai 1. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house, and therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. There are spiritual laws in effect. And we are reaping what we have sowed in this land. And there are many individuals who are doing the same. And then fourthly, God has established the law that those who are generous with their money in furthering His cause, God has purposed to bless them financially. This principle is illustrated for us wonderfully in the life of a widow in the Old Testament and her encounter with the prophet Elijah. This is found in 1 Kings 17, 8-16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. See, God's in sovereign control of all people here on earth. And so Elijah arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. That's 1 Kings 17, 8-16. Now, I think it's important to say a disclaimer of sorts. There are many who preach from pulpits and write books and proclaim over the radio and television a health and wealth gospel. If you're spiritual, you'll be wealthy and healthy and wise. And they are extreme in their comments, and they often exploit people. They appeal to men's covetous nature to respond to them, and their spin on what faith means and brings to people. They clearly are the false teachers of 2 Peter chapter 2. However, in our distancing ourselves from them and their errant message, we don't want to neglect or ignore the biblical message that God has promised to bless financially those who are faithful in their stewardship. And that's what we have here in Philippians 4, and that's what we have illustrated in that woman back in the days of Elijah. Proverbs 19:17, He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay back what he has given. That's a truism. Proverbs 19:17. Deuteronomy 15:7-11. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land neither. And therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be helping people in need. Now, by the way, there are some, and even some Christians, that argue, well, this therefore legitimizes a welfare state. And who are you to be so stingy, not willing to pay your taxes to help people in need? No, this is not a blanket endorsement of an intrusive, oppressive government stealing from your neighbor in order to give to you. That's sinful. That's thievery. But rather, this is a principle and a command that you, of your own desire and willingness, give to those in need. That's the way it used to be in this country. No, it's oppression, and it's unjust for our government to use the power of the sword to take from one man that which is his, that which he earned, and give to another. Our land is corrupt because of what's going on. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. And then 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, Paul wrote, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then here it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. As it's written, God has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. Paul is talking about the Corinthians and their willingness to collect money for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he was speaking of how God would bless them. And then we read in Hebrews 6, verse 10 and following, where the writer to the Hebrews says, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full measure of hope unto the end. You see, when we care for people and help people that are in need, we bring blessing upon ourselves also. Then we read of Paul's desire in Philippians 4 that God would be glorified through all of their dealings. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we read Paul's concluding words in Philippians 4, a personal note. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That is every Christian, of course. The brethren who are with me greet you. Indeed, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. There were some of Caesar's household that were converted through the Apostle Paul being imprisoned, perhaps even chained to them. And then the last word of Philippians 4, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul's ministry had been fruitful. God had blessed his ministry and this church's support of him. And even some Christians were of Caesar's own household. Paul was in prison, suffering terribly, but he was rejoicing in all that God was doing through him and for him. May you and I have that same optimistic attitude and filled with joy and filled with a grateful heart, expressing thanksgiving to our good God. Well, until next time, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
Trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit PaulRents.com for party and equipment rentals.